Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth, radio show ministry hosted by Stan Wadsworth. The show is an opportunity to study God's Word together through careful inspection and wholesome dialogue. Whether calling in or in listening, we welcome our listeners to prepare their hearts and minds for learning that is for living, according to God's Word. Now let's hear from our host.
Welcome. Welcome back to another segment of Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth, Tech Talking Religion. Our title today is about leadership. It was penned specifically toward our current president, Donald Trump, and it's titled, What Does the Bible Teach About His Presidency? We're not talking about his presidency per se. We're talking about any presidency. Which is outside of the guidelines of a spiritual heart, outside the guidelines of right or wrong. And how do we look at that? How do we view that? How do we harbor our feelings and our opinions toward that type of leadership? This is very important. And one of the reasons that I chose to talk about this particular subject is because of how I've witnessed myself talking about the current president and the Spirit of God echoing to me what I do know about his word regarding that. And two is watching CNN. And it got to the point where on CNN, basically, it's almost a disrespectful regard. And I can't tell whether it's for the presidency or toward the president himself. I don't think that it would be toward the presidency, but I still think that the way that they've been talking has been outside of the goodwill and that we should have toward a leader in our particular for our particular country, or any type of leader for that matter. We've only got 15 minutes to go here, so we're going to move right along. The things that we have to consider so that we'll keep it in the right context is the government office that the president holds, because we're talking about the presidency of the United States specifically, but in general terms, we're talking about all leadership. But regarding our current president, because I do live here in the United States, let's consider the office that he holds, the office of the president. Let's consider also the purposes of God in that leadership. And the plans that he has for humanity. Let's consider a minister that has been accused of moral turpitude. The office is still to be respected and submitted to, but that does not mean that you have to co-sign or concede to what a leader is proposing or the lifestyles that they live. And issues like this, we're talking about matters of grace and pride, and I'll explain that a little bit more. In the biblical sense, matters of grace require a quiet submission to an event in our life, to a viewpoint in our life, a quiet submission. In the Bible, grace is the freely given, unmerited favor and love of God, the influence of the Spirit of God operating in humans to regenerate, because we need regeneration and strengthen us, a virtue or excellence of some sort, of some divine origin. It comes from God. The Bible tells us that even faith in Ephesians 2 is a gift from God. So these virtues that come from grace are direct derivatives of God's goodness to the lives of those who he bestows this upon. It's called the Christian graces. It's the condition, grace, of being in God's favor or one of the elect. Now, that's a kind of a different denomination type of term there, but just know that grace is the quiet submission for this show, quiet submission in regards to the things in our life. On the flip side, the biblical perspective of pride is one of complaining. Pride causes us to complain, murmuring. A lot of synonyms, I looked at synonyms, I have a hard time saying that, synonyms are for pride are self-respect. Listen to this. Self-worth, self-identity, ego, self-regard, dignity, self-esteem. You'll notice they're all self, just about. Pride is really, the concern of pride is for self. Maybe not in a healthy way, but nevertheless, it's a concern of self. The grace of the gospel teaches us submission and quietness, as I said, where pride and a carnal mind only sees causes for murmuring and discontent and the things of pride. Think about it. Are we ever pleased with anything? It's always too hot or too cold. When it's cold, we wish for warmer days. When warmer days comes, we wish for cooler. We're never satisfied. Think about it for a moment. To help me unpack this principle, I saw Old Faithful, the website of gotquestions.org. If you have any questions, I would strongly recommend that you go there. It's a website that I actually had signed up to write on, to be an editor there, to be a freelance writer. They asked me to write, gave me two questions, asked me to write to them. I was so busy, I never got to it. But it's still, when I check it against the Bible, it's still, as far as I'm concerned, biblically correct. So gotquestions.org. I researched the story of King David, who thought he had ample opportunity to, not thought, though he had ample opportunity to end being pursued and attempted to be killed, he refused to kill King Saul out of respect for God's appointment of Saul. He understood Romans 13:1-2, which says, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority that except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves." Now, we can discount that. Again, we only have 15 minutes. I'm going to have to move along. But the Bible says, I didn't make that up, "and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves when they rebel against the authority," that we're rebelling against God. In the story with King David, on one occasion when David had the opportunity to kill Saul, he refrained, saying, and this is straight from the Bible, in 1 Samuel 26:10-11, "As surely as the Lord lives, the Lord himself will strike him, or his time will come and he will die, or he will go into battle and perish. But the Lord forbid that I should lay a hand on the Lord's anointed." Again, 1 Samuel 26:10-11 for your review. David believed that Saul was in God's hands and that he was forbidden to put Saul to death himself. Now, this is a man that anointed Saul to be the king. I mean, anointed King David to be the king. So, I'm sorry, what am I saying? This is a man that was attempting, that was anointed by Samuel, a prophet, to be king. David was to be the new king when Saul was to be removed from his position for disobedience to God. But yet and still, even though that was, they were going through that transition, something like what we're going through now, Saul didn't want to relinquish his authority, but David had been designated as the new king, and Saul wanted to kill him for that reason. But yet and still, David believed that he was in the hands of God and that it wasn't his place to put Saul to death, even though he had ample opportunity. As far as removed as President Trump or any leader, for that matter, may morally be from what is right, if we remember that though God allowed, according to Scripture, a person of moral turpitude to rise to prominence, his plans aren't ours. They generate from an vantage point of omniscience, all-knowingness. His plan and knowledge are from a platform of inexhaustible knowledge that has no boundaries. Like King David, we are to rely on and respect God's allowance of many things we don't understand to occur in our lives. King David lived in the grace of God that I just mentioned, a submission to the will of God, even though it was extremely dangerous for him to do so. Think about it. Could you or would you allow a man to walk away that was trying to kill you? Well, according to the Bible, that's godly living, a godly attitude. For those who profess Christ as their Lord, their decision should ultimately be filtered through the grace of the Holy Spirit, not the pride of man. The grace viewpoint will trust in knowing that regardless to what God is, to know that regardless to what, God is always in control of the events of life. And though sometimes we may not understand, we must learn to trust him. Remember, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Hebrews 11:6. The pride viewpoint, on the other hand, relies on our personal viewpoints, opinions, and emotions to create a narrative that is our own. Or I think more dangerously, one that is a combination of one part God and three parts ourselves. That perspective seems to give us more comfort since it kind of doesn't leave God all the way out, though we do what we want to, regardless of whether it lines up with God's word or not. So I know you're wondering, okay, so how do we play all this out in our day-to-day lives? We have a Idi Amin or a Saddam Hussein, a Jim Jones type of leader. How do we play this out in our day-to-day lives? For me, how do we deal with racial injustice by police officers? Again, leaders, people of authority, whose authority it is to serve and protect, gun down black people during instances where other options can be used that are far less devastating. It's simple. Our addressing a leader or person of authority comes down to our position concerning his or her office must be filtered through what we know about God's word, which oftentimes we'll find isn't quite the most gratifying position we like to take. This is where studying God's word, study to show thyself approved, studying the attributes of God through his word is extremely helpful. If you don't know it, only have a verse here, a verse there, Sunday school knowledge, we tend to be okay with positioning ourselves in the neutral zone and essentially doing more of what we want to do than what God expects from his people. The Spirit of God has nothing to work with in those cases. Let me be clear. Scripture never requires nor expects us to obey or to conform to any that is not within the godly lifestyle he has laid out for us. That's one of the things that makes us different. However, in the midst of not abiding to or agreeing with, we are required to respect and within the guidelines of Christianity, obey the leaders placed over us, knowing that though we may not understand, God is using these individuals and what they may or may not do to accomplish his will in the lives of those he has created. And to close, I'll give you an example. Throughout the President Trump regime, a great many Americans, not everybody, would agree that they don't feel like he's done the bang-up job. They've cited his character, xenophobic, sexist, obviously racially prejudiced. He has that entitlement thing going on. He has no respect for the Constitution or the people involved in the Constitution. He places blame instead of being accountable for the things that he says and does as the president. But in spite of that, and I'm speaking to me first and foremost, though I may not agree with the character, the morals, the principles of this man, he still is the president of the United States. So for me, as a child of God, I should never bash. Now, to speak about something is one thing, but to bash the presidency, to bash the position, to bash the respect for the leadership that the Bible says that God has appointed over people is sinful. But look at the goodness, the things that have occurred, where there's now a new transition, and now I believe that people are coming together more than ever. So let's know that God's ways aren't our ways, and his purposes are sometimes veiled to us, but we just to know that God is good, and he's in control of all things. And if we want real change, we need to continue to more and more pray and ask for God's favor in our lives. God bless you until the next time.